Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Albert, please?
Speaking.
Mr. Hemphill, I don't know if I have the right number. My name's Jeffrey Hill, and the reason I was calling was because I was reading, were you at the Pentagon on 9/11?
Yeah, I just got a call from somebody not more than an hour ago asking me about 9/11.
Oh, yeah?
That's kind of strange.
Seriously, somebody just called me.
Oh, yeah?
I was reading some email, and it was talking about an Albert Hemphill, and it was just talking about what he saw at the Pentagon. It was, I don't know exactly what, Albert.Hemphill.BMDO?
Who are you with? What are you doing? Are you writing a book or something?
No, I'm just a guy that was just interested in, I read all this stuff on the internet, and, like, I see all these conspiracy theories and stuff about it. And lately I've been kind of in an argument with these guys who say that the plane flew over the Pentagon and never hit it. And I was just trying to, like, talk to people who actually saw the plane.
Well, I saw it. It hit. It flew over the Navy Annex. That's what I told the guy I just talked to a minute ago. I literally just got a call from some guy from California just a minute ago.
Oh, yeah. Was his name Craig Ranky?
Yeah, it was the guy.
That was the guy, and he sounded like he was an interrogator or something?
Well, it sounded like a reporter, just asking questions, wanting to...
Oh, wow, that's strange, because that's the guy that I've been arguing with.
Okay, well, that was he just called me, and I had a... He just asked me what all I saw, so I told him, yeah, here's what I saw. And then, yeah, it was interesting. You know, he has an interesting perspective. I can't agree with it. I saw what I saw. It was an airplane.
Yeah, you were, like, in your office or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what it said in the email. You saw, like, a silver cylinder or something, and it was it, like, it, do you, like, you saw it over the Navy Annex?
Well, yeah, at the time I was working in the Navy Annex and looking out the window from the eighth wing of the Navy Annex, which is now gone. They tore it down in order to build the Pentagon Memorial, or the Air Force Memorial. Looking out the window there, I looked out the window and saw the airplane hit.
So you actually saw it hit the building with your own eyes?
Yep. You know, he tried to tell me, this guy said, well, one of the theories is that, you know, you may not have actually seen what you thought you saw, and that the aircraft actually flew away. And I said, look, yeah, okay, whatever. But I'm telling you, what I saw was a very large airplane smack into the Pentagon by the heliport. Okay, it hit.
Yeah. Like where you saw it coming from, would you be able to tell me, like, kind of as far out as you saw it, where it was?
Well, it came to my right shoulder. I was probably 8 to 10 windows down from the corner. The corner office was the director's office, who at the time was Lieutenant General Ron Kadish. Okay? And so down from Kadish's office, my office was about 8 to 10 windows down, because he had a big suite. And if you go to the Navy Annex today and you look at the in office, that's Lieutenant General Pat O'Reilly's office. I don't work there anymore, but if you count over about 8 to 10, that's about the same position I would have been at. So the aircraft would have been kind of over my right shoulder as it came over. And it, because where I was, that meant it just came directly over the annex, over the gas station, and boom, into the building.
So it flew over the Citgo gas station?
Yeah, pretty much. It looked like it went right over it.
Because I guess what those guys are saying, I don't know how, if he explained to you what they're saying about how they say it must have flew over the Pentagon. They talked to a bunch of people, and they said it came in north of the Citgo gas station. And they say that it wouldn't have been able to hit where it did if it came over the north of the Citgo gas station.
He was trying to explain that theory to me also, and I listened to it politely, but, you know, all I could tell him is, look, from where I was in the window looking out, big plane came over. It was to my right-hand shoulder. And what I told him, I said, look, I'm telling you the same thing I told the FBI. Okay? It came over. He cleared the bridge. My personal opinion, got into a little ground effect with an airplane that large, and then piled in, you know, kind of between the first and second floors.
Yeah, and was it, like, really low to the ground when it hit? Like, was it level?
Yeah, it was starting to get a little bit level. But I guessed he was going, like, 350 knots. And I think the official account said he was going faster. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, they said something like 530 miles an hour, whatever that is in knots.
Yeah, that would be about 400 knots.
And, did you see it hit any light poles on the way in?
It clipped one that I think I saw that it looked like a flash of something getting knocked down. But he talked about a taxi cab and all these light poles. I said, yeah. That's possible, but from my vantage point, I didn't see a taxi cab, and I didn't see a bunch of light poles. I saw what I think was one that got hit as he cleared Route 27.
So you would have been, like, kind of right by where, I don't know if you know who Sean Bolger was?
No, don't know him. The only other witness I know personally that saw the airplane is Terry Morin. And Terry worked at the Navy Annex also the same time I was there. And Terry used to fly F-4s in the Marine Corps. And so I think his version is, I think, pretty consistent with mine, what we saw. We were not together at the time when we saw it. I was up in the command suite, and he was, I think, between buildings or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. He said he was at the Navy Annex, and he saw, like, the belly of the plane fly over his head or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, like, from where you saw it at the Navy Annex, it just kind of came down like it was looking like it was kind of going to land or something in a way? Or?
Nope. He was diving the aircraft.
He was diving down?
He was diving it. He was in a powered descent.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the... Are you a pilot?
No.
Okay. You can hear the engines spooling as if he was at full power, you know, just whining that sucker out. And he didn't have any flaps down. He was clean, no gear.
So the landing gear wasn't down, eh?
Nope. He was clean.
So I talked to a guy named Master Sergeant Noel Sepulveda. I don't know if you ever heard of him either.
No.
But he said that it hit one of the light poles with its landing gear. But he, you know, I guess everything happened so quick when you guys saw it. Like, you know, it's just kind of like...
Well, it's like I told this guy, Craig, what did you say his name, Craig Ranky? I told him, you know, this was just a few minutes ago, he called me, you know, you see something, and if you count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, from 3 to 4, maybe 5 seconds is the sight picture any of us had from the Navy Annex of how long we would have seen that aircraft at the time it hit. That's really all the more.
Yeah.
That fast. But what's going on? Are you guys having an internet battle or something? Or
I guess you could call it that, yeah, internet wars. Well, they put out a video where they interviewed, like, a guy named Sergeant Legassi and a couple of people from Arlington Cemetery and a whole bunch of people. They went down there, I guess, in, like, 2007. And they got all these witnesses on camera saying that they saw the plane come in north of the Citgo gas station. And so what they're saying is that if it came in north of the Citgo gas station, it wouldn't have been able to hit any of the light poles in the path, and it wouldn't have been able to do the damage to the Pentagon. And then they're saying that it flew over the Pentagon. It was like a flyover and something else. There was either bombs in the Pentagon or something.
No way. I told this guy the same thing. No way. I saw an airplane hit. I saw a big yellow fireball and a gigantic puff of black sooty smoke, like happens when something that is filled with Jet 1A blows. And I believe that because the guy had taken off from Dulles and had not flown that far, you're talking about an aircraft capable of doing, you know, transcontinental flight, he was loaded with thousands and thousands of pounds of fuel. And unless he vented, that meant you still had, even a flight to Kentucky and back, if he was fully loaded, not going to burn off that much fuel. So he was a flying bomb, and that's what caused it to disintegrate. Fuel load.
Yeah, okay, well, like, what about, like, after it hit? Like, okay, so you already told me, like, 100% you saw it hit the building with your own eyes, right?
Absolutely.
So that would say, like, their flyover is not true.
Didn't happen. It did not happen that way. That is not what I saw from my vantage point, where I was in one of the windows looking down the hill towards the Pentagon from the Navy Annex. It hit the building.
Did you see that C-130 fly by right after?
It wasn't right after. I saw a C-130. He was outbound from, I think, from Andrews, probably at between 8 and 10,000 feet, heading westerly. And that was after we'd already exited the building.
So it would be a few minutes after then?
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't, like, right above the plane or right behind it kind of deal?
Nope, absolutely not. Nowhere close to it. He was 8 to 10,000 feet. If he had taken off from Andrews, he probably was even higher than that. I'm being very conservative. But I've been around the Air Force and airplanes my whole life, and I know a C-130 when I see one. And that was a C-130. And he was outbound westerly.
Yeah, that was Captain O'Brien. He's been on record a few times that they told him to go try and see what he could see with that plane. But there's one guy that says that it was basically shadowing Flight 77.
Okay, I don't buy that. I don't believe it.
But then everybody else says that it was like a couple minutes after that they saw the C-1.
Right. Well, here's, you know, I saw it hit. I went out, pulled the fire alarm to get people out of the Navy Annex. We exited as quickly as we can down the stairwell of the old Wing 8. It's now gone. And got over, we're getting people over into the Arlington National Cemetery. And in that period, while we're getting the people out, I'm in that parking lot. Are you familiar at all with the area?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, to this day, it's still there. There's a parking area on the compound of the Navy Annex. And in that area, we opened up a double main gate there that has been out of use for a long time, because you have to go through a secure entrance to get in there, carding in and out with your Pentagon-type badge. You get a card reader. Okay, well, so the old gates weren't used, but for emergencies, they're able to open them up. So got those gates opened. Everybody poured down those steps. And it was in that street there on Cemetery Drive. You looked up and you see a C-130 outbound. So that's at least 10 minutes. 15 minutes. It's a while after. Pentagon was on fire. It was burning at the time I saw the C-130.
Did you go to the Pentagon after the plane hit?
I went down to the bridge. What I did is I let people use my cell phone, went down to the bridge trying to see if, where they were triaging people, if we could help. Actually, I found that there was a lot of people there. Arlington County Fire and Rescue were the heroes that day because they responded so quickly. So I left then and went back, and I was able to hitch a ride home because I was doing more harm than good by being there, because I'm not medically trained. I'm not a paramedic or anything, and you had people there that knew what they were doing. So the best thing you could do to help was to get out of their way and let them do their job.
Yeah. But so you didn't really see any wreckage or anywhere on the lawn or anything like
that? No, I didn't go over by there. Now, in the days after, I didn't tell this guy at Ranky this, but in the days after, they looked for volunteers to escort cleaning crews in and out of the Pentagon. At the time, and I was in the Missile Defense Agency, of course, I had a very high security clearance. So I was one of the volunteers. I still have my hard hat, and I still have my breathing mask. And I went in and out of that building a whole bunch. Saw the crush zone and all that. And it was a big mess. The area where, you know, years ago where I had worked in the Pentagon was gone. It was fifth corridor on the fifth floor is where I worked years and years ago.
Did you see, like, any plane parts or anything when you were in there?
No, I saw a lot of soot. A lot of soot, like it had been a, like you'd get if you burn kerosene.
Yeah.
So, Jet 1A, jet fuel, is essentially kerosene.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like that punch-out hole in the C-ring?
No, I didn't go down there.
Oh, no?
No, they didn't let us down there because we were just helping with the fire cleanup crew stuff. The crew I was escorting, we did see the body bags that were out in the center court. That was kind of disconcerting because I knew some of those people.
When you told me, you kind of think it kind of came over that Citgo gas station?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it hit. So basically, it was on a straight, like, diving kind of path. Like,
yeah.
Things didn't
yeah.
rock, like, back and forth. Like, it didn't do any right or left banks or anything like that?
No, not that I could see. It was a quick look at it, but he may have got into what's called some ground effect. You know, when you get an aircraft of that size and you get down close to the ground, you can have what's called ground effect. And it can cause the aircraft to become very unstable. But it was only for a second, if that. And then, you know, the aircraft, it hit. You know, I hate to blow this guy's bubble. It, you know, maybe the data is all dorked up from the government. Hell, I don't know. But all I know is what I saw. And that's why, that was my last remark to him. I said, man, all I can tell you is what I saw. I saw a large airplane that I guessed to be either a 757 or an A320 Airbus. Something of that size, fly into the Pentagon. It hit it. It hit the building.
Like, that's one thing you're absolutely sure of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It hit.
And then, well, I guess that's basically what I wanted to know, is if you saw it hit the building.
Without doubt. That's what I told the FBI. That's what I wrote up in my official statement. I had a buddy, a guy named Rick, who was a Marine, that had retired from my organization and gone to work for this Beltway Bandit contractor operation called Whitley, Bradley, and Brown. They do consulting work. So Rick sends me an email and says, hey, man, you guys okay? What did you see? And so I typed up this lengthy email and said, well, here's what I saw. And, you know, of course, he starts forwarding it to people.
That must be the email that I was reading today, yeah.
Probably was. How old was the email from? Was it from like the day after or something like that?
Let me just pull it up here real quick. It was translated from Italian, actually. I had to use Google Translator, and it says
it's translated from Italian.
Yeah. Wednesday, September 12th, 4:20 p.m. My wife's relatives and my friends keep asking me what I saw, what happened. Here's what I wrote up my experience describing. And then it's like about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 10 paragraphs of stuff.
Yeah. It was a pretty lengthy one.
Yeah. Okay. So everything you saw is in there.
Yeah, pretty much. I gave that to the FBI. The FBI came and interviewed me. And ironically, the FBI agent that came to interview, her name was Heidi Messerschmidt.
Oh, yeah.
Airplane. So anyway, she came to interview me, and she says, well, we can just do the interview down here in the lobby of the Missile Defense Agency. And I said, no, you need to come up to my office and see, because only from there can you appreciate the vantage point I had and what I saw. So I took him upstairs. There was another agent that was with her. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Mr. Schmidt just stuck with me because I found it so ironic, you know, airplane name.
So anyway, like, show them how good of a view you had, kind of?
Yeah, exactly. I said, here, look at my wonder. You want to see what I saw? Look at it. And they all went, both of them went, holy shit, you were in the perfect position to see what happened. I go, yeah, the airplane hit.
So that would have been in the Navy annex on the 8th floor, you say?
No, 5th floor of the 8th wing. Now, keep in mind, Wing 8 no longer exists. It is gone.
Okay.
It was torn down about 5-6 years ago because that's where they built the Air Force Memorial. And it looks like giant french fries coming up out of the...
Oh, that's those with the three things coming in.
Yeah, and really ugly. Really ugly.
Okay.
But that's where Wing 8 was. So that's gone.
Looking straight at the Pentagon then.
Yep. But from Wing 7, it's a further distance. You can get a good idea if you see Wing 7, if you count about 10 windows over from the corner office that's closest to the Arlington Cemetery side, that's about the point I was in Wing 8.
Closest to the Arlington Cemetery side?
Yeah, I was closer to the cemetery side than I was in Columbia Pike.
Okay.
My vantage point. And see, the airplane was to my right shoulder.
And it would have been to your right shoulder.
Mm-hmm. So, he was trying to make a fine point with me of, well, could it have been more over Columbia Pike, or was it directly over the annex? And I said, I don't know. I said, look, I believe it came right over the annex from what I could tell for the approximate 3 to 4 seconds that I saw this, okay? It crossed Route 27. I think in my write-up I mistakenly called it Route 110, which that probably flamed up everybody saying, well, I'll see, this guy's fucked up. Well, I used the wrong route number. But anyway, it was Route 27, which takes you from 95, if you bear to your left, you head on up over to Roslyn. And it takes you by the old heliport and the entrance for the river entrance. So, bottom line is, I saw the plane hit. It hit the building.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's got all this data and these pilots and different people that are saying that, the place by which I said and all these other witnesses say we saw the airplane, that the damage could not possibly have occurred in the building. And I said, look, I haven't seen the data. I don't know, man. I said, you're asking me to corroborate something I can't talk to. I don't know, okay? I haven't seen the data. Frankly, I haven't looked at that stuff because it's a very painful thing for me. A girl I knew from high school got killed in that deal.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody my wife and I knew her forever. Her name was Patty Dilliber Mickley, and Patty got killed. And I haven't paid any attention to it. I don't go on the internet. I don't look at it. Don't care. I figured, look, if the kooks want to believe that it was something, that they fired a photon torpedo from Starship Enterprise or whatever.
Yeah, there's some people that actually believe that.
I don't doubt it, okay. Knock yourself out, okay? But I saw an airplane. The airplane came over where I worked, went over the gas station, over Route 27, and it slammed into the building and made a gigantic fireball. Gigantic puff of black smoke. There was no second airplane. It didn't fly over the Pentagon. It hit the frickin' Pentagon. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I guess there's nowhere else to really put it other than that. Do you blame people for, questioning what happened that day? There is kind of, a lot of mystery around,
Well, I look at it this way. Did John Wilkes Booth really shoot Lincoln? Was there a guy on the grassy knoll? Conspiracy theorists are going to believe what they believe. And there's many people that do not trust the American government. Okay, that's their right. And our Constitution says I fundamentally defend their right to hold that opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll defend their right to hold that opinion. But doesn't mean I agree with it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. When you look at a lot of stuff, it seems I don't know, man. There seems to be something weird going on.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I really don't. I don't. And, I'm not telling you anything different than I just told Craig, what's his name?
Yeah.
Seemed to be a nice guy. He
I think it's pretty funny that we both called you at the same time.
Well, it'd be, literally, I just got off the phone with him, and it just hung up and went in. My wife says, well, what was that all about? And I said, ah, some guy writing a book or something wanted to ask me what I saw. And so I just sat down, played my guitar for a minute, and just as soon as I put it up, the phone rang. It was you wanting to ask me the same thing. Go figure.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time to tell me, you know, what you saw that day and stuff. It kind of, like, it helped, you know, like, it was, you know, it helps sort fact from fictional when you can talk to an actual person that saw something with their own eyes.
No problem, man. I wish I could tell people more. I wish I could say, you know, that I had the data and that, you know, this is...
Well, basically, anybody that doesn't think a plane hit the Pentagon is, well, I can't say really an idiot, but they're wrong.
They're wrong. And as I told, you know, this guy Craig, he says, well, I want to send you this disc, and you look at it and tell me what you think. I said, sure, send it to me. I'll look at it, but it doesn't mean it's going to change my opinion. What I said to him, I said, look, what I told you and what I told the FBI 10 years ago, I have not varied from my story, nor will I. I saw what I saw. The plane hit the Pentagon. If there's problems with the data or whatever, you know, then there's problems with the data, and the data could be wrong.
Yeah.
Or people have miscalculated, whatever. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as an eyewitness, what I saw the thing hit the building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man. Well, like I said, thank you very much for taking the time, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I hope that whatever kind of debate, battle, or whatever you got going, that it works out for you. And you know, but the truth is the truth, and that's what I saw. It hit the building.
Yeah, well, you've been a big help to me, and I really appreciate it, Mr. Hemphill.
No problem. Call me Al. Don't call him Mr. Hemphill.
Okay.
Mr. Hemphill's my dad, and he's in his 80s, so.
Okay, well, you enjoy playing that guitar. I won't take up any more of your time.
No problem. Hey, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye.